All right, find your way in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 as we take up now the second letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. Hope the first one helped you out.
Yes.
Blessed you. I hope that the first letter was applied. My desire for you is not just to be hearers of the Word, but to also be doing the Word of God. Otherwise, it's just sort of an empty exercise of, that sounds nice, rather than this is God's Word and we put it into practice. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Lord, I ask that you would, by the power of your Holy Spirit, in the spiritual realm, cast down every high thing that has exalted itself above the knowledge of you. Lord, that you would cast down, break up, destroy those arguments that have exalted themselves above the knowledge of you, bringing every thought into captivity. Lord, we acknowledge in our infirmity of flesh, Lord, we are prone to read the circumstances of life wrong. And we acknowledge that your Holy Spirit has given us the Word by the power and inspiration that this came forth from you, and that this Word is your seed for us to believe and receive. And so I pray our part today for our hearts to be good in relationship to receiving your Word. Lord, we know that it will be tested, and we ask that we, Lord, when that's tested, would come forth approved. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, as Paul introduces to the church, he describes himself in his calling, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Now, I want to strengthen and encourage you that concerning God's will, aware of, and my wife and I pray for you often and talk often about our lives and being a smaller fellowship by the way of sizes of fellowships, not the smallest ones, but small enough. And yet, again, as I would say this, I know you. Right, and I make it my business to know you and then to pray for you and what's going on in your life and then learning, and you have a great opportunity to really join in together concerning God's will for us as church, that we carry this together. And I am very aware in women's ministry that there's been a very solid instruction concerning the will of God, concerning that, and it really is this true, that the will is the strongest part that we have to offer to God. Because I'm going to teach this today, and again, first 5-7 verses, sort of an introduction by way of instruction, by way of knowledge of what God has said and done in other places in the Scripture. My encouragement to you is that you would take God at His Word, that you would believe what God has said. Because we're going to undertake this in the circumstances of life. Paul, writing his second letter back, this letter really exists describing what an apostle means to the church. And at first glance, you say, oh, that's great. Who cares? Maybe you say, well, Jesus. Yet you have to understand, the apostles were sent by Jesus as he went back to heaven. He gave them the baptism with the Holy Spirit. He separated Paul and Barnabas to take this gospel to the Gentiles. And Paul took this gospel into places where Satan did not want people to hear the good news of God's Son. He hindered, if you will, the work of the spreading of the gospel, that the Son of God had come to the earth, that he had died and he had resurrected, and all who believe in him, he would grant them eternal life. He would give them the power of life after death. It's an amazing thing that many times we kind of miss, and sort of like now 2,000 years later, we said we just want to be comfortable and feel good, and we just want our Christian lives to be easy. Doesn't work that way. That's not true. And we unfold this will of God and God's will for our lives, and Paul writes, an apostle by Jesus Christ, of Jesus Christ by the will of God. What I get out of 2 Corinthians is this: Paul's not going to hold back. He is going to, if you will, peel back the skin and let the church, and therefore written in scriptures, all of us see the sufferings of Christ in the life of one who has been sent into the world as it were, to reconcile sinful man to a holy God, Jesus being the one who has, by his cross, made it possible for mankind to be saved. And then he sends apostles, and he sends then churches to preach the gospel. And in many ways, we're the ones who are connecting, right, people with the truth of the Son of God, explaining sin, which nobody in this world wants to talk about. I don't think you can even find sin mentioned anywhere in all of the news publications and all of the major news sources in the world. And yet, that's the major issue going on in the world. The cause. Now, why I describe this is we're not of this world. And you have to decide for yourself as a believer that if you have believed and received Jesus Christ, that you are born from above, that means that you are no longer of this world. And no longer being of this world, I'm not going to live according to the way this world lives. Paul hints at the way they conducted themselves. He says, not after fleshly wisdom, but he says, we conducted ourselves in singleness or simplicity of heart and sincerity. Now, that should reach us here because we've been concentrating on genuine church, being those that follow Jesus in the way that he, again, I said, by the will of God, here's my instruction to you. When you suffer, right, when you suffer just for following Jesus Christ in your life, receive that as God's will for you. Okay? Paul writes this letter back unto the church of Corinth with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Now, according to Hitchcock's dictionary of biblical names, Achaia means trouble. Now, there's a little play here as Paul describes this place on the earth that he said, you guys know trouble there. In fact, that whole region is named trouble. That's an interesting thought that you think of Joshua and they had this great victorious battle at Jericho. We love Bible studies. The kids love Bible studies about Joshua. The walls come down. You go around Jericho. I've seen Jericho. Okay? I've seen the ruins at Jericho, and I've seen them many times, really, what's left, because there's not much of the old city left, but you can still see the portion, and the walls were built at an angle. And so if those walls fell down naturally, those walls would have fell in. But the archaeology describes that the walls fell out. Now, I'm just here to let you know God is real, and everything that you believe and receive in his word, it will absolutely be tested. Satan will not let one part of God's word rest in your heart without a battle. Not one part of his word, whether it be instruction, promise, command, reproof, or equipping, whatever part of the word, Satan will not just let it be there because he's the spirit who works in the children of disobedience. He's the prince of the power of the air. His power to lie, deceive, confuse is real. And why I bring this up in this context, because the biggest battle I believe that Paul is really facing is really, is he an apostle? And you know what he points to? His mark and, again, evidence and truth of being an apostle? He says, look at the wounds and the sufferings that I have on my body for serving Jesus Christ. He'd go into a town and preach the gospel and they'd want to kill him just for telling people to repent of their sins and believe and receive Jesus Christ. His mark of an apostle, if you will, okay, is all the wounds, all the scars that he now has, all the suffering he's endured. It's in 2 Corinthians where we get to see, if you understand this, the sufferings of Christ exposed in one that Christ sent into the world with this promise. Don't be surprised when the world hates you. It hated me first. Now, one of the prevailing lies right now in the North American church is that you should be relevant. You should be the world's best friend so that they want to come in. That you should be well-liked by the world. That's satanic. It's absolutely contrary to the truth of 2 Corinthians. According to the will of God, Paul and Timothy, in their ministry in the church of Corinth, with all the saints in the trouble, again, And after they defeated Jericho, there's this one man who had sinned in covetousness. He saw this, again, an idol. I think it's worthy to say that. His name is Achan. And he saw, he coveted, he took for himself. Now, Satan's always right there to do what for you? Here, look at this. Would you like this? Yes, I know, right? He doesn't ever say, I know it's wrong. What does Satan lie and say? You can have this and still have your relationship with God. And so that sin that Achan did, and finally, all right, again, remember, he didn't repent by conviction. He did not repent by conviction. He repented only as Joshua called him out and says, he was chosen by lot of all the people of the children of Israel, of their sin in the camp, and the guy could have come clean at any moment, and his family could have come clean at any moment because he hid it in the tent. And sin is why they were defeated at Ai, the next city that they went to. Listen, we need to understand that the very circumstances that happen in our lives could be because of sin. The very trouble we experience could be because of sin. Certainly the question, is it our own sin? But isn't this the truth of the Scriptures? The circumstances, the trouble, the death, the dying, the pain, the suffering that's in the world is because of the sin that's in the world. Where'd death come from? Oh, the false, lying, deceiving, the circle of life. Death is a part of life. That's such a lie. Death was never intended. Death is a part of sin. We just studied in chapter 15 how Jesus was victorious over death on the cross. He's victorious over sin. We as those who follow him, again, I perk my ears up to 2 Corinthians. This is my ministry book. Right? If I don't have, again, in my life, the mark of the sufferings of Christ as I serve him, then I'm following someone else. And we, likewise, as a church, if we don't suffer for his name's sake, we'd be hard-pressed to convince anyone that we actually deny ourselves and carry the cross and follow Jesus the way that he said we should follow him. Now, with that sharp sword of the edge of Gin, Achan sinned, and yes, he was judged. Now, my part here as believers, again, if you count sin a light thing, even in your past, and you look back and say, how did I get here? How did I arrive at where I'm at here? Did I arrive here? Again, even unbelievers, what does the Bible say about sin and the sins that I've committed and following, again, a lust, a pleasure, a anger, a hatred, a murder, whatever that might be as the conviction of the Holy Spirit? Achan gave glory to God and said, I've sinned. I took that which didn't belong to me, and I wanted it for myself, and I sinned, and then judgment came upon his sin. Aren't you glad that the judgment for the sin of the world was placed upon God's one and only Son? Prophesied, right, by Isaiah, that the Father laid upon him, the Lamb of God, the iniquity of us all. As believers, right, believers, again, so my part is to bring us through in the will of God that says it's better for me to suffer than to sin. It's better for me to suffer for righteousness' sake rather than to sin and be comfortable in my circumstances. Now, as I describe this wonderful truth according to the will of God, the valley of trouble is where they named after they heaped the stones up upon Achan, and they renamed that whole place the valley of trouble. Achan meant trouble. He was the troubler of Israel. And they renamed the place where he sinned and caused defeat for the people of God, the Valley of Trouble. Now, I believe as we study this, I'm going to emphasize, this is about the doctrine of suffering, what the Bible says about suffering. And I don't know anybody who teaches us this way, the way the Bible teaches suffering. In fact, I know the prevailing voices in the world, which are from the devil, say you should always feel good. Rather than to comfort you in your suffering, there's all these voices that says that you should be comfortable and not suffer. Now, I don't know if I have to convince you. I'm convinced. It's better for me to suffer than to sin. Righteousness always costs. It always does. Unrighteousness is easy. It's in us. We want to just do whatever we want to do, not even checking if it's right with God. Now, why I bring it up in this context is I believe that this testing has to happen. What testing? Well, for you to have a good answer for the trials, afflictions, tribulation, trouble, valley of trouble, as you go into life and experience what we would say defeat, dejection, downright depression, I'll even add their death. Again, this is where we studied last week, to be absolutely convinced in this abounding life in Christ that His life does abound over sin. So here it goes. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. If it was a common greeting that day in the world, the Greeks said grace, the Jews said peace. But Paul took this thing and he's like, grace from God. Jesus Christ is the gift that God has given us, and we receive grace. We're saved by grace through faith. This grace that is to come to the church, grace and peace from God and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need anything else, because everything that you can receive from Him comes by His grace, and that He would give you peace. I'm at peace with God. Now, as I describe this grace and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ, and I love verse 3. I don't know how it works in your prayer closet, but here's how it works in my prayer closet. I wake up and I'm just, you know, waking up and trying to find God, hearing God's voice. I'm going to come and seek my Father in heaven. And whenever I start out with I'm just off. I start out with, look at Paul 3, blessed be God. Our Lord taught us to pray, our Father in heaven. Okay? Hallowed be thy name, right? This Paul's saying, blessed be God. And this is the ministry, if you will, of an apostle. Hated for Jesus' name's sake. Beat, right? Knows what it means to be without clothing, without food. Knows what it means as he serves God to suffer for preaching the gospel. They wanted it in many places to make him stop. And if he wouldn't stop, what's the best way to make somebody stop that you don't like what they're doing? They persecuted him. Beat him. One place they stoned him, and it looks in Scripture that he may have died and gone to heaven by way of a vision. He said, I don't know if I was actually there or if I just got to see in. And he says, but he didn't go there. And he was sent back, and he's revived, and he gets back up into town to strengthen the brethren. Okay, now, I'm going to listen to one who not only teaches the cross of Jesus Christ, but has carried it into daily life. Because right now, many of the voices out there, even from pulpits, they're just talking about feeling good in this life, not even counting the next. Now, I got a lot to say today. I don't know how far we'll get through this, but blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. I want you to understand the Father of mercies, okay? The way that the grammar is with of mercies is a descriptor of God the Father. Contrasted with, I would introduce to you, I've already talked about him today, the Father of lies. Contrast, right? Satan is the father of lies. And we're going to turn there in just a bit. But I just said, God is the Father of mercies. Pity, compassion, solace, consolation, is comfort, right? This idea of mercies, the God of all comfort, the God of all pity, compassion, solace, He sent Jesus to save you from your sins, to console you in the effect of sin leading to death in your life. Consolation. The consolation is the comfort of the Messiah coming to bring salvation to sinners. You need not die and go to hell. This is, if we skip these truths and we say, oh, Jesus just makes my life better, my friend Jesus. We talk as friends. No, He saved me. He saved me from sin, death, and hell. Because I would describe Christianity in many ways today. Again, broad term, I understand that. I would describe that those who come to the Word of God would say it's God's Word. Many people still will say it. But they become very shallow. As long as God's Word agrees with how I feel, then I'll stick with that part of God's Word. It's quite the opposite. God's Word is God's Word. What needs to change is our hearts. Now, in having much to say, let's pray for me that this is organized for you. It is for me, right? So at this place of what's in my heart, that the Holy Spirit would reach your heart concerning the Father of mercies. Okay? God is merciful. So just to take that into consideration, that God knows everything about you. God knows everything about, go back to anyone who has sinned. We even sing today, "Oh Lord, search me, try me, know my heart." David bears it out, says, such knowledge is too wonderful to me that God would know my everything, and I can't hide anything from Him. And so if God isn't merciful, if God isn't full of mercy, mercy implies guilt. God knows sinners better than sinners know sinners. God knows you better than you know you. And listen, Freud doesn't know you. Maslow doesn't know you. All of those demonic, right, theories and philosophies, there is no good psychology, right? It all came from this earth. Now, as I describe this, and why I talk about this, is this suffering. Only this truth, and again, it's warred out in the Scriptures. First two chapters of Job lay it out. Satan says, let me at Job. Well, do you know what happened first? God says, have you considered my servant Job? God put him forth and says, there's this man on the earth, lives in the east, and this man serves me, loves me, follows me. And God says to Satan, have you studied him, how to take him down? You know what Satan offers up? Take everything from him. Then he won't follow, serve, love you anymore. Make him suffer. He only serves you because of the blessings you give him. So he's allowed. In what now the modern world calls acts of God, and our insurance companies call the very same things that Satan brought into Job's life, and they call them acts of God. I don't think the winds that came from the desert that knocked the four corners of the house down and killed all of Job's kid was an act of God. Bible says very clearly it was Satan who brought that wind. Now, why I describe this to us is because we've got to solve this suffering one. It should have been solved for all of us in the book of Job, right? You study that book of Job and you find that whole thing, and then you look at that, that Satan brought the suffering to Job's life, and what did Job do? Worshipped. Everything was taken away from him, and what does he say? Naked I came into the world, naked I'm leaving the world. I came in with nothing, leaving with nothing. Blessed be the name of God. I serve him, I follow him. And then Satan comes back for round two, which we have to pay attention to. Because if it really is, Christianity really is about the abundance of possessions, we didn't listen to Jesus very well. Because he said a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. I mean, our North American form of Christianity should be, again, just cut right to the heart over that abundance of stuff. And why I describe it in this way is, rather, abounding church, the mark of abounding church would be an abundance of mercy. Because there's been an abundance of sin, we need an abundance of mercy. Because there's an abundance of suffering, we need an abundance of comfort. But I'll tell you what's going on right now. Satan's winning with many people. What do I mean? They're following him. Christians following the wrong spirit. Blessed be the God and Father, even of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. You know what the Bible reveals? that there is suffering in this world because there's an evil one who uses all the circumstances in this world to prove his own theory and count God wrong and evil and wicked in the eyes of mankind of which he made them. Even though he sent his son to save, to pay the penalty for sin, and to satisfy the righteous judgment of God, yet Satan continues to lie and say, God is not good, God doesn't love you. If there was a loving God, he would not allow you to suffer. And yet, we find out in the second go-round with Job and Satan, right? God and Satan, Job being in the crosshairs, he's allowed to, because here's Satan's theory. Right? If I bring him to the point of death, on his deathbed, he will curse God. So the Father says, right? The Father of mercies says to the Father of lies, you may touch his body and cause his body to suffer as much. And what happens when you suffer in the body? You also suffer emotionally. You also suffer, right? Again, you suffer in your mind as well, because if you ever experience something with pain and then you can't sleep, and when you get deprived of sleep, you start to not hold reality very well. Okay? Now, in describing this, again, context for me, 2 Corinthians, is verse 5. The sufferings of Christ abound in us. We should not be strangers to the sufferings by the will of God that are the sufferings of Christ in this world, and we should expect that they would abound in us because the other part is true. So should the comfort, the salvation, the consolation of the Messiah abound in our lives. And as Satan is allowed to cause, I mean, painful boils, again, tormenting all day long, again, and Job says, I don't want to go to bed at night. I don't want to get up in the morning. And he starts talking, so much pain, he says, it would be better if I'd never been born. But he never sins in the matter. So Satan's testing this whole thing out, and he continues to use lies and deception to, again, prove God unloving, not good, not merciful. And yet Satan's a liar. Now, as I lay this forth for us, back to 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. Find your way to chapter 15 of Romans. So just don't jump back over 1 Corinthians, just a little bit back to the left. Okay? If you've got the large version of the King James, King James Thompson chain, it is on page 1204. I don't know if that helps you out. Chapter 15. We then that are strong ought to bear with the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Holy Spirit, very clear with me that this is part of my calling as a pastor. 2, labor in such a way to bear up with the failings of the weak. To stand, like the Apostle Paul, in suffering, not moved away from the gospel, steadfast, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord, suffering openly for others, that they can see that this word of God is always true. Pretty straightforward. Do you believe God's word? Do you believe God's word contains every answer that you need? And this is my compelling argument. It either contains every answer or it contains none of them. Because if you tell me that the Father of all mercies is not merciful to give you his word to comfort you, I detect that spirit came from Satan. So when you say God has left off a part for you, I'm sorry, God can't help you. You need to go over here to get help. And that's where most Christians are following the wrong spirit. I'm here to let you know, and I stand upon it, even if I suffer for it, that God's word has all the answers for life and godliness, or else it has none of them. And then all that we do, you know, twice a week to give all this time to listen, every day I get up and read this word so I can get God's word in my heart so I know truth, and I put truth in there and I receive it in my heart, And I am convicted when I sin against God in His Word, and I get that right. I confess my sins. He's faithful and just to forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness, restore righteousness to get up and walk, and especially in suffering. Especially when Satan comes to test what God has said to you. Now here's what our Lord said to you, right? He didn't say it to you, but He wrote it down for you, and He gave it to the apostles, and they took it out, and it's recorded for us. Jesus says, when He went back to heaven, I won't leave you comfortless. I'll come to you. I won't leave you without comfort. I'll come to you. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit, the Comforter. He will call you to His side. He will exhort, console, comfort, the Helper, the Comforter. The Holy Spirit in this ministry is the one who will bring everything Jesus said to you. He will comfort you in all of your troubles. Now, if you look at Romans 15, here's my absolute convinced truth, right? We then that are strong ought to bear up with the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. It began with, anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Do you know that the position of denying yourself is a very strong, mature, right? I will deny myself and I will carry my cross and I will suffer as Christ suffered wrongly. And I will walk that way and I will live that way. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Yeah, I believe a reference, again, you think of the context of Romans 15, taking the body of Christ, that some weak members of the body, some strong, again, neighbors, some again, need to be edified. And so the way that you edify another, for their good, for the other person's good, and therefore I confront, right? I convince, I rebuke with all authority, again, these things, for your own good. If you're suffering in sin and you've turned aside to sin and I don't say anything to you, I'm going to stand before God and say, why didn't you warn them? You had Christians who were sinning openly against God and you never told them? See, and you look at this, to edify for one's good, for even Christ pleased not himself. Now, I just take 15:3 and I would exhort and encourage you, pleasing others or pleasing yourself is, again, following Satan. As you follow Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit says, don't please yourself. Don't live for yourself. He who seeks to save his life will lose it, but he who loses his life. I need you to understand something. I've been bought with a price. The cross of Jesus Christ, he redeemed my soul from hell. My life is not my own. Therefore, I don't get to please myself with my life. So if I follow Jesus, I deny self rather than please self. Here's the truth of Scriptures. Almost all of the false, you should be comfortable, take this pill, feel better mentality, right? You should never suffer. Whatever other voice you might be following almost relies upon you pleasing yourself. In fact, the modern phrase is love yourself first. Now, that didn't come from God. In fact, we already love ourselves what? Too much? Because we're told to deny ourselves. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, and I want you to highlight that phrase in 15:3, as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. When did that take place? That's at the cross. The reproaches of everyone who didn't like God's ways, right? When the Father laid upon Jesus Christ the iniquity of the whole world, the reproach, connect this, God's only Son, right, created all of mankind because the Word, and even though he was in the world knew him not, yet he made the world, and the world that knew him not crucified him, put him to death. What is that? Well, we count his life no longer worthy to be on this earth, so we kill them. That's what governments are called upon to do for someone who has committed so much crime. So the only way to stop this person is to end their life for all the lives they've ended. And the government has a responsibility, again, for good, put the evil away. Do you realize that the world counted Jesus, the Son of God, who made them, counted him evil? That's a reproach. The reproaches of everyone who reproached God, the reproach fell upon Christ. So where do you want to be counted? Do you want to be together with the world, following the prince of this world, Satan, with all of his lies and deception, and living a good, happy, you know, well, like, I love my life, it's just so pleasing to me? And then find that the end of that way is death? Or do you want to, okay, Lord, I'll follow you. I'll follow you in your way. I'll suffer for your name's sake. As it is written, again, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The God of all mercies, the Father of all mercies, the God of all comfort has given you his word. And it records the patience and comfort that God wants you to have in all of your circumstances, trials, difficulties, sufferings, that you would believe that God is, that God loves you, that he sends his son to die for you, that his son rose again, and actually he can make good on the promise of eternal life. So much so that he says, trust me into death and I'll bring you out the other side into life. Now Satan can't offer anything like that, can he? In fact, Satan relies upon you being fearful of death, so much so that you'll do everything you can to not get anywhere near death, to even think about it. And people get all superstitious. Don't mention death. Or then they get so twisted and they like to watch movies about death. It's weird. It's absolutely strange how Satan twists all this. And yet, this is what Paul's going to lay out. And I'm going to lay it out for us, and I'm going to walk in it for you, the patience and comfort of Scriptures, that you might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation, so comfort, consolation, solace, right? That's all the same Greek word, the same root word, that paraklesis, the same way Jesus introduced the Holy Spirit, that he would come alongside, call you to his side, and speak comfort to you. So what do you need when you're going through suffering? Well, what did the people of God of old need? What did Job need? Job was not comforted by any of his friends of this world. And trust me, they had all the wisdom of this world. They were the philosophers of the day. They were Socrates, Plato, right? They were Freud, Maslow. They were all these philosophies. They sat with him, and you know his phrase? Miserable comforters are you all. In fact, he wasn't comforted until he heard what? Till he heard what God said. The last four chapters, 38, was that five chapters, 38 through 42 of Job, priceless. That's what God said to Job. He heard God. Last time I read it, I'm like, God, how'd you speak to him? I don't know, but he heard God's voice, God's word. And you know what Job did? He repented of everything he thought about God that wasn't the way God really is. And then he prayed for his friends that they might be saved. Because they were miserable comforters. Listen, this world, the miserable comforters. Every voice in this world that's not of God, that came from Satan, every philosophy, theory, anything birthed of Satan is going to be nothing but confusion, hatred, in the end, death. And he's so good at making something that's evil look good. Think of Eve. The phrase was, after Satan got done talking up this knowledge of good and evil, got done talking up this fruit, and she looked at it and says, ah, it's not evil after all. In fact, it's good for food. She ate it. Now, I come to this place here because the God of all patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Jesus Christ. You know what I hear in 15:4? If we all agree together that the Word of God has all the answers for life and godliness, and we hold to that Word of God, and we would then be able to encourage one another in all of your sufferings, I can also encourage you. Right? It's all right. It's over now. Lois, it's okay. We're good. Your phone was ringing, but don't worry about it. It's probably Satan trying to take us away from this study. Let's not answer his phone call. No problem. Don't feel bad at all. I'm just doing that so I bring everybody back. Okay, now hear me on this. You guys ready to hear me? Will you trust God? Will you take that his word is true even when you suffer for following exactly what he says? Because here's the test. If there's a patience and comfort of the scriptures that again, the scriptures came from God, and what Paul tells the Corinthian church, that the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. Now here's the contrast. Father of lies. John chapter 7. Right? And that whole thing that Jesus lays out, okay? Father of lies. When you follow a lie, when you believe a lie, right? When you tell a lie, you're of your father the devil. Contrast, when you receive mercy, I was guilty as guilt could be. I was a sinner. I needed to be saved. The only way I could be saved, I couldn't do good works that outweighed my bad works. The only way I could be saved, because of all the sin I had done against God, the only way I could be saved is I needed someone to save me. And God looked upon the world, right? And he comforted the world. Noah's name means comfort. How do you see God saving the world, saving the eight? How do you see that? That's consolation. That's comfort. That's the evidence that God would send a Savior to save the world from the judgment that sin absolutely requires. Because God's a holy God and sin can't dwell with him. Every disobedience has a just reward. I don't know if you know the weight of the sin upon the Lamb of God. You get a glimpse of it as he's going through the garden of Gethsemane, and he's under that weight of that sin, and he goes to the cross and fulfills. Now, why I describe this in 2 Corinthians, the Father of mercies versus the Father of lies. Satan lies about God all the time. He blames God for the sufferings in the world. Even though it's sinful man, again, evil Satan tempting man to do evil and wicked contrary to God, and yet God is good. And God has given mercy unto sinners. The whole world has sinned. There's none righteous, no, not one. So what does God do about that? Is he up in heaven preparing for judgment, wishing for judgment? No, in fact, the Bible says complete opposite. That God desires that none should perish, but that all would come to repentance. What's the sin of the people of the world? Sin of unbelief. Didn't believe in God. Didn't believe in his Son. Now, the Father of all mercies, God is merciful. Therefore, when we're merciful, we are of our Father, the only true God. Compassion, pity, mercy. When you preach the gospel to sinners, what are you saying? If I don't get them the gospel, they have no chance to be saved. I've got to tell them about Jesus so they don't go to hell. And it's that pleading of the comfort. When's the comfort? Heaven. What's the comfort? The comfort is no matter how much you suffer in this life, if you've believed upon God's only Son, you believed and received him, you're saved. Even if you suffer and die here, what do you know? I'm comforted. I have hope. I have comfort. The God of all comfort comforts us in all our tribulation. 2 Corinthians 4:1. Tribulation. Same word to describe what Jesus said. A time of tribulation is coming. How bad is it? How bad will it be on the earth? We're not going to be here, right? Because the Antichrist cannot be revealed until the Holy Spirit, as he indwells believers, is taken up out of the way. Rapture of the church. The Antichrist is not coming to, again, so you can't say, I just don't get the mark. Unbelievers are going to be faced with that reality. What do I offer us today? Pleading with you to have a good heart. The Bible says that God comforts us in all our tribulation. And then we, who have been comforted, look what our instructions are. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. So another satanic lie. I need somebody to relate to me of what's happened unto me. Victim mentality, totally denying that God outweighs every circumstance. If you've gone in any trouble, I'll tell you, I can comfort you with God's word. I don't have to relate to you. I relate to Jesus Christ. Now, he knows everything. We don't. But those that follow him can actually comfort anyone in any circumstance, in any sin that they did, and or any sin that's been done unto them. We're told here to be, again, I'll just take it with you, house of mercy. We're his people who follow him and believe his word. He's merciful, therefore we are to be merciful. Can sinners receive salvation because our compassion and pity and their circumstance and situation? You know how easy it is to sin and go to hell? I think Satan's got 1,000 or 10,000 gates that lead into hell. And there's only one way to be saved. Satan offers everyone everything. And yet Jesus comes and says, this is the way. God comforts us in all our tribulation that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. So we don't have to be the wise, philosophical, psychological ones in the world to comfort someone. Again, I'll talk to any pastor that's going to watch this. Pastor, stop sending your people outside for a false comfort. As I talk to all of you. So, listen. We're comforted in suffering. What's the comfort? What God says to you. What God says to you is what's comforting. Not what man says to you. Man says to you, you should be comfortable on your way to hell. Swallow that pill. As you feel good about not experiencing the conviction of faith. Is God real? I just don't understand, right? What do you mean you don't understand? You're not willing to listen to what God said. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, abounding church, 2 Corinthians 1:5, as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so also consolation also abounds by Christ. Consolation is salvation. There is nothing more comforting to a sinner than what? Your sins are forgiven. That which would have cost you your life has been forgiven you. Now, what do you fear? Bible says this, today's proverb, right? Wisdom has built her house. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Forsake foolishness and live and go in the way of understanding, right? Satan relies upon you to fear death and torments in it. Fear not feeling well. Whenever suicidal thoughts are a part of your life, that's Satan's mark. He's a liar. Okay? He sows false thoughts. He convinces you of lies. And this is where I stand today. I'm in warfare today. And this is the issue. We're either going to be a church that can look someone in the eye and say, your sufferings are to bring you to God through his son, Jesus Christ. Everything you're experiencing is so you would actually listen to the gospel. Because before this, in the pleasures of life, you're not listening to the gospel. So those counselors, which are actually pastors of the philosophies of this world, who diagnose a wrong diagnosis and then prescribe a wrong healing, never accomplish the mercies of God. They miss the comfort and the consolation, and they keep millions of people from heaven. And who doesn't get angry about that? And that's I know pastors send people out. Spiritual issues. The very circumstances and trials and sufferings of Christ, which are to bring about a conviction that sin will kill you, right? Repent, believe upon Jesus Christ, and you shall be comforted, saved, salvation, consolation. As the sufferings abound in us, so also our consolation aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it's for your consolation and salvation. Paul says, whatever happens to us in the ministry, it's for you to be saved, for you to be comforted. So if you watch my life and I suffer for it, I watched my pastor suffer for righteousness. I've watched him continue to serve God when all of his friends were saying, you should quit. And I watched him go through all that. I have the same mentality. I'm not quitting. I'm going to keep telling people the rest of my days about this truth. And why I describe it to this? Because sin is so easy, deception is so easy, and so many today are listening to Satan's lies that says, suffering is wrong in any way, you should just feel good. A big lie. Christians believe that lie. And they want to relate to God somewhere else other than the Word. Seeking comfort elsewhere. Romans 15, is this my solid ground? The only place there is comfort from all the lies, because I don't know how you account Job 1 and 2. I account it, Satan is able to cause all manner of suffering and trouble in everyone's life. We suffer because of sin, and we suffer because of Satan, and we suffer because of self. And I just offer up the Bible. Pastor, what part of the Bible? I'll help you. Look at this part. This has comforted me greatly. Now, I want to address the shallowness, which has really invited Satan. His big lie is God can't help you. And I'm here to tell you, look up to God and pray. He will help you. Right? And I, as a shepherd, will help you. Because the good shepherd has helped me, saved me. What's this whole thing? Well, find Mark 4. Let's address the shallow heart. Now, I want to address all of you today who don't think God hears you or is with you. You can't find him. You don't know where he's at. I want to address all of you who aren't certain that God is. Because isn't that Satan's big lie? His big lie is that there is no God. Or changes the way God is. Maybe this other religion actually has some truth to it. That's not true. Mark chapter 4, our Lord gave a parable, and he taught it, and I want to address the shallow, thorny, not the thorny, the shallow, rocky ground. The sower sows the word. Some of that seed fell on the stony ground. Those that heard the word immediately receive it with gladness. Mark 4:16. I want to address the shallow North American, purpose-driven, seeker-sensitive. We cannot go deep in God's word and believe what he said to spread this out. We can't have any controversial teachings because then people won't want to come in. In fact, we learn how to be worldly and shallow rather than deep and true. Because I'm here to let you know, you will suffer. And if it isn't happening yet, you're going to have sufferings as you have the Word of God tested in your life. Our Lord taught that stony ground, again, in the natural realm, seeds go on stony ground. It's usually warmer soil. It's shallow ground. And it springs up faster. But when the sun comes out, because it's shallow ground, the roots can't get down to the moisture. What happens? That plant withers and dies. Here's what our Lord's teaching. They immediately receive the word with gladness. You know how many people I've said, oh, this is so wonderful? People say, Pastor, what a great teaching. I'll never see you again. Because this isn't great. In fact, this is so sharp today. Like, how can you say great? Because it cuts everywhere. It cuts to the depth of our heart and say, what am I really like? Am I merciful? Do I watch people go to hell and just kind of get out of the way? I got saved. I don't care about you. That's not the Father of mercies who brings that. And again, that conviction, this shallow-hearted Christianity that is willing to listen to the theories, philosophies, psychologies of the world. Because I don't like what God's Word says. Don't like the command to lose your life. The way Jesus said, they who hear the Word in a shallow heart have no root in themselves, so endure but for a time. And boy, do I remember the people who are only enduring for a time. And it hurts. I recall them, and they go, they walked with Jesus for a while, then they went back to sin in the world. Will they ever make it back? Probably not. And you wonder why a pastor, right, is up early, up late, middle of the night, why he, like, again, tries to get the sheep to Jesus over and over. Watching you, again, I've been exhorting you, stay in the flock, don't let him pick you off, don't follow Satan's lies. Because in that shallow heart, they endure but for a time, and then listen to this phrase, afterward when affliction, guess what the word for affliction is? Philipsis, root word, same word for tribulation, trouble. Acre, Achan, right? Achaia, trouble. And there's trouble in this world. It's not easy to do what? Take God at His word in every circumstance and suffer for His truth. It's far easier to do what? Oh, I don't know. That doesn't even matter. Shallow heart. When affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended, shrivel up and die. So I hope to offend all of you today, to test your hearts to see whether it's shallow or it's a good deep heart. You have root in yourself and you'll be rooted in this truth. And I'm just going to let you know, right? If you are turning to the world for your comfort so you can be comfortable, you're on a dangerous path. Okay? You're turning to, even if it's a Christian counselor, trust me, the term Christian in that case is nothing but sprinklings on this deceptive donut that will kill you. Or if you were a Simpsons fan from years ago, the forbidden donut. A little bit of levity there for us. But I just want to encourage you. I'm pleading with you. Take God at His word. And when you say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, and that I will follow Him because I believed and received Him, and I'm born from above, and I'm saved, and I will follow Him, and I will not sin anymore to the point of shedding my blood, Hebrews 12. I will resist sin now. I won't sin as a Christian because He saved me from sin. How can I continue in sin when He saved me from sin? And I say, I will not sin anymore. Because Satan's going to do what? To Christians all the time. Tempt you to sin so he can lie to you and say, your salvation doesn't mean a thing. And I'm going to stand up and I'm going to let that word go down deep. Even if I suffer for believing in Jesus Christ, if I'm hated, listen, if I'm going to have gifts of prophecy and I'm going to speak to people, you do understand what I just said today, many Christians don't like what I just said. Because what I said, right, is contrary to their practice. I offer up to you who listen to me, will you hear God's word? Will you stand upon God's word? Will you say, I would rather suffer now and be comforted by what God says to me? No matter how I feel, I will not sin against God. Think of Job. Painful boils. The only way he could get any relief was to... He humbled himself, sackcloth and ashes. He's just trying to get any relief. Humbling himself, this hurts so bad, I'd rather die, but I can't die. And he would not, if he had taken his own life, Satan would have won. Right? But that would be a huge sin for Job to what? To curse God and die like his wife suggested. He says, don't talk to me like an unbeliever. Now, as I describe this to us, Here's my remedy. Make sure your heart's good for God's Word. Everything that God says in His Word, receive it into your heart and hold it there. Let it grow. Nurture it. Whatever you read in the Word, take that in, believe it, receive it, even if you don't understand it all yet, and keep asking for understanding. When you find out that you are living contrary to God's Word, repent. Change your mind. That leads to changed actions that says, I must live according to God's Word. Satan says you should be comfortable, and he gives you no comfort. Okay? God says you will suffer as you follow me in this life because this world is contrary to me. The ruler of this world hates me. You're going to be hated. Can you be hated and still follow Jesus and his word completely? I didn't say perfectly. I said completely. See, because you know what happens to a good heart? Everything God says in his word. So I test and try the spirits. And this is where what I'm doing for us today. Are you following a lie? Christian, are you following the father of lies? Believing a lie, trusting in a lie, only to think at the end it's going to be different. Are you looking for comfort somewhere else other than God's Word? I've had pastors for years describe their congregation and say, well, part of the congregation relates to God and His Word, and another part of the congregation relates to God and something else. They're looking for a feeling. They're looking for a song. And I came across a definition of a word today, and it brought me to my spiritual knees. This isn't new. We either are going to have devotion and wisdom, which speaks of the depth of our hearts to receive. Because listen, you have depths that only suffering can touch. There's places you don't like. Why don't we like suffering? Because it hurts. What does God do with that hurt? Boy, does He get deep into our lives. And if we're shallow, what do we say? I will not suffer. I will feel good. Some people self-medicate. Some people, right, take drugs by prescription. Other people take drugs by their own choosing. This isn't complicated. We would rather say what? I should feel good rather than suffer. The Bible says what? Better to suffer for righteousness' sake and be comforted with what God said than to be comfortable in a lie. So as you test the spirits today, are you following the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit testifies of the Messiah who suffered and died a painful death on a cross in order that he might bring you eternal life. Do you remember when Jesus, right, says, who do men say that I am? One of the prophets? No. John the Baptist? Nope, not that. Then he says, who do you say that I am? You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon this rock, your name is Peter, right? Little pebble, but upon this rock I'll build my church. What's been said. And then Jesus begins to teach them the truth. And immediately the revelation that Peter received, that Jesus is the Christ, it is tested, and Peter comes through with a shallow heart. Because he was told what it means to be the Messiah is that the Messiah must go to Jerusalem, must be arrested, must be handed over, must be crucified, must die, and then the third day he'll rise again. And what does Peter say? No way, Lord. And you know what Jesus then says to Peter? Get thee behind me, adversary. Do you know that you have great power if you stick with the Word of God to speak and stand against the adversary? The only way you can stand against Satan is by the Word of God. Where the Word says that even Michael the archangel, when he was warring over Moses' body, would not himself even speak against Satan. He said, the Lord rebuke you. Satan. He wouldn't talk to him. How'd it go for Eve when she talked? The only one I know of who could talk to Satan and not sin was Jesus Christ our Lord when he was tempted. I just offer up to you I'm with him. So here's my offer to you. If you're suffering today, I will pray with you. I will pray with you. My wife and I, right, will be up front. We'll pray with you. Don't back away from suffering. Because what's happening in suffering, the truth of God's word is being received into a heart in a deeper way. So most people like the 23rd Psalm, the Lord, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's everything. I don't want anything else. We like the passages that says he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me, you know, this idea of a green pasture. I'm well fed. Oh, this Christian life is great. Jesus is a good shepherd. But you remember the part where he, yea, though I walk in the valley and the shadow of death. A shallow heart doesn't like that verse. But a good heart says, I'm going to take Jesus at his word. And it says right there, it says, I will fear no evil. Do you know that God is not going to let you over be taken by evil as a believer? Satan's lie is, I'm going to overtake you. The Bible says, our faith in Jesus Christ, because he's overcome the world, our faith in Christ Jesus, we overcome this world. What do we need to know? Well, the psalmist said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, a rod and a staff are not comfortable to a sheep in a natural sense because the shepherd will use that. Again, I grew up on the farm. We worked with animals. If you had something in your hand, it's not to pet the animals. It's to correct them when they get into trouble. But you know what the psalmist declared? This is exactly what I need to know when I walk into the valley of the shadow of death. I know that God's corrective hand, or again, what's in his hand, be it a rod or a staff, the staff with the hook, he can rescue me out of danger. Or if I'm running head on to evil and sin, he can get me back on track so that I will fear no evil. What's Satan relying upon? Fear of evil. If you didn't think the world would be moved by fear, just examine February and March in 2020. At the very thought of fear of dying, people ran out to buy all the toilet paper in the world, even though there was no shortage. So base as to something. But what it was really about? The news quickly spread the fear of death. You need to do everything you can to be able to stay home and not have contact with anybody, or else you might die. I told you I had a lot to say today. I don't know if you believed me. But you need the comfort and consolation. Do you need the comfort and consolation of the cross? Do you need to be saved from sin, hell, and death? Or I guess, yeah, sin, hell, death. Yeah, because death is the final. Jesus already defeated death for believers. He defeated death for everybody, but only the believers who've believed upon Jesus Christ will experience eternal life. Everlasting consolation. Everlasting hope. So, I guess I should stop somewhere. We are a church that will continue to teach all the Bible with the full-on truth of the doctrines of suffering. The only thing that makes sense is God. All these philosophies and theories who say, yes, God will take care of eternity, but we'll take care of you here. They're all Satan's tools to keep you from the depth. So here's my final parting word to you. No matter what you experience in the depth of human circumstances, emotions, suffering, pain, sin from another, your own sin, you need to understand God's love is deeper still. There is no experience that you can have that is so dark, so deep, that you can say, God can't touch this. God can't help this. And I'm here to remind you that only Jesus Christ saves. And for the saved, you too are to be filled up with mercy. So Father in heaven, we thank you. You are the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. If you weren't this way, we wouldn't have anything. So Lord, we look to you now. Forgive us for trying to feel good with this world rather than to suffer for your name's sake. We serve you. We love you. We worship you. We trust you. We trust everything you've said in your word. Help us to deepen your word in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.